And then I'm going to talk to you today about rejoicing, but I'm going to do it from the understanding that having joy is a perspective. Having joy is not something that just comes naturally to most people. It's something that we have to choose. And there are things within our lives that sometimes get in the way of us choosing joy, even though we've been commanded to choose joy always. So I'm going to read John 15, verses 9 through 17. And this is the beginning. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, if you go back to the beginning of John 15, he talks about the vine and the branches and living in Christ. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that today, but that's where this idea of abide is coming from. But Jesus has moved past abiding in him as a philosophical, theological understanding to something practical. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. I have said these things. Why? Why did Jesus say these things? So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. This is really helpful. Jesus says, if you keep my commands, then you will abide in me. So Jesus is about to tell us what his command is so that we can live in joy. So what is his command? That you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So we've got two things now. One, we are to abide in Christ's love. And two, we are Christ's friends if we do what is commanded of us. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in him, in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. It sounds to me like living in Christ, abiding in Christ, the Christian life is all about loving one another. And that from that, out of that, we live in joy. It's out of understanding who we are in Christ. We are the friends of the Lord, the Messiah, the living one. We are his friends, we are not his slaves. And it's because we follow him, because we abide in him, that we get to live in joy. I'm going to read a few things to you today. A while back, and it's been a little while. A man named Douglas Abrams, I think he was somewhat of a journalist, spent a week with two very important, very prominent religious leaders, world leaders, people that had impact all over the world. He spent a week with them, and instead of like interviewing them and asking them questions, he basically recorded the conversation. Now, he named the recording of this conversation the Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World. And he had two people from vastly different religions that had this conversation. He had Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and he had the Dalai Lama. And together they talked about the persecution and the oppression that they had been under. They talked about how they had been forced into prisons and required to leave their home countries because of racism and oppression. Desmond Tutu in South Africa was a religious leader and a civil rights leader, but he was forced into prison and forced to leave South Africa because of the apartheid state, the racist state that ran South Africa at the time. The Dalai Lama was forced out of Tibet because of the Chinese government wanting to overthrow and take over Tibet, and he lived in exile for years. Well, in his conversations, Douglas Adams came to an understanding. And what he decided, he wrote down and gave it to us so that we could understand what he said and what he thought and what he had come to believe. And this is what he says. A healthy perspective really is the foundation of joy and happiness, because the way we see the world is the way we experience the world. Changing the way we see the world in turn changes the way we feel and the way we act, which changes the world itself. Perspective is huge. Now, I'm going to bring it back to the Bible for a minute, because the Bible gives us as Christians what perspective we are to approach life with. As Christians, how are we to see the world? How are we to see what we're going through? How are we to view? What lens should we see life through? And I'm going to read Romans 8, 31 through 39. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather, who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is to be our perspective. We are free and we are overcomers. Nothing will win against us. Nothing. Now you may say, what about cancer? What about famine or childhood diseases that have no cure? Christ is victorious. That doesn't mean that we won't face death. It means that when we face death, we will win. You can walk through and know that on the other side of death is life, and life with Christ. That's why we don't have to be afraid. That's why we don't have to worry. Jesus has something to say about worry as well, doesn't he? Archbishop Desmond Tutu said this in the interview: discovering more joy does not, I'm sorry to say, save us from the inevitability of hardship and heartbreak. In fact, we may cry more easily, but we will laugh more easily too. Perhaps we are just more alive. Yet as we discover more joy, we can face suffering in a way that ennobles rather than embitters. We have hardship without becoming hard. We have heartbreak without being broken. Joy leads to a life that understands that hard times come. Bad things happen to good people. But in the midst of that, people with faith know that they are going to make it through. The Dalai Lama said this: the suffering from a natural disaster we cannot control, but the suffering from our daily disasters we can. We create most of our suffering, so it should be logical that we also have the ability to create more joy. It simply depends on the attitudes, the perspectives, and the reactions we bring to situations and to our relationships with other people. When it comes to personal happiness, there is a lot that we as individuals can do. You may not agree with everything the Dalai Lama believes, but in this, he is right. We are in control of the way that we see things. Now, right now, I have 6 kids. 3 of them are teenagers, and they're trying to view the world in ways different than the way we raised them. And that's healthy, and that's good. They're challenging, they're growing, they're asking questions. 2 of them are at that age where they're starting to wonder. They're not teenagers, but they're getting there, unfortunately. And then we have Celia. And Celia, well, she's happy when she's happy. And she can get upset sometimes, like in the middle of the night, and she's in her bassinet, and she doesn't want to be there. She wants to be in mommy and daddy's bed. She can scream pretty good. She doesn't understand perspective. She just knows things are not how I want them, and I want that fixed. Isaac and Piper don't completely understand perspective. They're getting there. But they understand that they have some control over the way that they interact with the world. They can choose to do their chores with joy or with a bad attitude. Either way, their chores are getting done. My older three are figuring perspective out. They're figuring out that sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes people do bad things. They say things that are harsh and unkind. They say things that are untrue. And you could allow those words and those actions of others to completely tear you down. And sometimes it's easy to do that. But it's our perspective as believers in Christ to know that we don't fight our battles on our own. That Christ fights them for us. And there will be justice. So when people lie about you or steal from you or hurt you or say mean things to you, our job is not to retaliate. Our job is to live in joy. And that's hard. But it's that joy of life, that joy in life that shows the world that we are Christ. The way that we love despite the way that we're being treated, the way that we love when things are going wrong and rough. I heard this week a perspective on a Bible verse that I had never heard before. How many of you have heard the passage, "Take up your cross daily and follow me"? Yeah. Many times, we take that verse to mean, I'm just going to have to sacrifice to get what I want. And I don't think that's what it means. You see, many of us are willing to sacrifice to get ahead. I'm willing to do that. I'm not really willing to sacrifice soda because I'm addicted to soda. But I'm willing to make other sacrifices sometimes in order to do things that will put my family ahead, that will make things better for my family. That's not taking up your cross. That's thinking of yourself. Taking up your cross is doing what Jesus did, which is sacrificing yourself at a time when you don't have to for the good of others. Jesus didn't have to take up his cross and die on Calvary for himself. He was fine. Jesus did that for his disciples and for us. So when Jesus tells us to take up our cross, he's telling us to look out for people who are in need, who are experiencing injustice, who are experiencing oppression, and fight for them at your own peril. The only way you can do that is if you love and have joy. Because otherwise, your perspective is off and you end up focusing on yourself. So today, for an example of perspective, I have a song for you. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to let one of my favorite artists of all time sing this song for you. You heard it a few minutes ago because we were testing to see if it would actually come through the system. And this is one of my favorite songs of all time. Not because it's a praise and worship song. If you look at it on the surface, it's not. But if you listen to the words, if you listen to what Louis Armstrong is saying when he sings, "What a Wonderful World," he's singing about God's creation. And you can very easily take it to the next step in praising God for what God has created. So close your eyes and listen to this song with me.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying, "I love you." I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Isn't that a wonderful perspective to have?
We built a $49.
I don't know what was $49, but sounds, I don't have it. God created this world for us, gave us a purpose in this world, and challenged us to take care of it and each other. So, our purpose is tied up in our joy. Our joy is tied up in who Christ is. And Christ says he will never leave us or forsake us. So I leave you with this thought before we move into communion. Who is Christ to you? And are you finding joy in him and in each other? Now, before we get started, does anybody need the communion cup? I'll get them for you. Thank you. On the night before he was crucified, Jesus met with his disciples, met with them in an upper room, and had a meal with them. But before he had the meal with them, he washed their feet. He served them. And he told them, "The greatest among you will be the servant of all." Jesus modeled for us love and sacrifice. And as we just spoke about, Jesus went to the cross and sacrificed himself for us when he did not have to. He could have chosen another way to save himself, but that would not have been what we needed. So as you take the bread, think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. This is his body that was broken for us. And reflect on yourself and the ways that you can serve as well. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and remember." Then Jesus took a cup and he blessed it and he passed it around to his disciples saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant." And what does that new covenant mean? It means his law. Love God and love others is written on our hearts so that when we're in tough times or hurting, the most important thing is still on our hearts. That new covenant will challenge us even when things get hard. I could preach a whole sermon about the new covenant. I could preach a bunch of sermons about the new covenant. But we're going to just suffice it to say it's from the new covenant that we get our salvation from sin, because Jesus died to bring that covenant to us. So take and drink and remember the blood of the new covenant.